Muli, magandang umaga po. Itutuloy po natin yung ating pong pag-aaral sa aklat po ng Jeremiah. The past two Sundays, we have looked at Jeremiah chapter 1, and that is Jeremiah and God's judgment. And last Sunday, we have looked at Jeremiah and God's heart of compassion based from Jeremiah chapter 3. No, lalaktaw po tayo ngayong araw po na ito, we will look at Jeremiah chapter 24. No, Jeremiah chapter 24. And the title of this message is Jeremiah and God's Plan of Salvation. Jeremiah and God's Plan of Salvation. Last year, 2020, parang hindi na po tayo naka-list po dito. Last year po, 2020, was a year of many unfulfilled plans. May ba siguro sa inyo talagang nagkaroon na ng family plan na lumabas, pumunta sa dagat, biglang nabura po yun dahil po dito sa sitwasyon po natin. Because of this pandemic, we seem to have been left with almost no choice but to wait and see for any improvement with regard to travel and mobility. Alang, hirap po ngayon bumiyahe. For us as a family, we have already decided to settle in Pangasinan for our outreach there po, early po ng 2020. No, meron na po kami nahanap na bahay po doon to settle sa Pangasinan, to really look doon po sa ating pong outreach po doon. And yet, na-postpone dahil po dito sa sitwasyon. Somehow, marami po sa mga nababalitaan po natin, many weddings were postponed. Except po siguro sa mga iba talaga na talagang full of love at hindi na makahintay. Of course, we encourage kapag ready na po. Talagang ano pa ang hihintayin. But many weddings were postponed. Family outings were put on hold. Ministry gatherings were set aside. Although ministry never stopped, sabi nga po natin, but the gathering, physical gathering, were set aside. And with regards to our missions and evangelism, our missions deployments were stalled. Somehow, they were delayed. Okay? This global situation presented to us, believers, brethren, to every human being, the reality that man is fragile and finite. Di po ba? Isang iglap lang po talaga, biglang nabular lahat ng schedule po natin. Napaka-limitado po talaga ang tao. We don't hold everything in our hands. We don't hold everything in our hands. Man is limited. Plans and programs can be overthrown in an instant. Sa isang iglap, biglang wala ho lahat. And this is one thing that is sure. Only God has the ability to exact His will in everything. Only God. Only God can perform everything. Nothing is impossible with Him because He is indeed the God. He's God who created, who sustains everything. After all, God is the only sovereign being. He's the only sovereign being. And we are always confronted with this doctrine. Amen po ba? Palagi po natin naririnig yan. And thank God that we as a church, as guiding lighters, we can be joyful in this church for growing us to uphold the truth of divine sovereignty. Naririnig po natin palagi. I have heard many hundreds of sermons about divine sovereignty in this church. And yes, that truth gives us hope. This doctrine removes us from sinful worry and worse, a debilitating anxiety. Kapag panatagpo tayo at alam po natin na ang Panginoon, alam niya ang kanyang ginagawa, oh Lord, salamat. Hindi kayo nagugulat sa COVID-19. Even itong bagong variant na ito, hindi po nagugulat ang ating pong Panginoon. And so today, my beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to remind every one of you about how God demonstrates His sovereignty in carrying out His plan for the sake of His people. Ito naman pong ibang aspeto na ating pong titignan with regards to His divine sovereignty, and that is His plan. God will fulfill what He has promised. Amen po ba? Do you believe that? And that is for sure. And my prayer is that with Paul in Romans chapter 15, that whatever was written in earlier times, it was written for your instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So, lahat ng ginagawa po natin po dito, lahat ng ating pong pag-aaral sa salita ng Diyos, so that we might have hope. Brothers and sisters, we are discussing the past two Sundays about Jeremiah and the people of Judah. And we have seen two issues about the book of Jeremiah, God's judgment and God's compassion. And as we dig in deeper into the book of Jeremiah, we know that God's judgment and God's compassion, ang pinaka nangingibabaw sa lahat ay walang iba kundi ang plano ng Panginoon, ang kanya pong kapangyarihan at ang kanya pong soberanya. And so as we tackle this sovereignty of God, this God's plan of salvation, I pray that it will instruct us so that through perseverance and encouragement found in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we will find hope. So habang ating pong inaaral ang kanya pong plano no, sa lahat ng bagay, I hope and pray that as believers, as followers of Christ, you will find hope. Amen po ba? Are you hopeful? Kanina ho, nung nagtanong ho si Pastor Tabs, tinignan ko po kayo, wala ho pa rin talagang reaction. Ayan. Pamilya po tayo. Hindi, yan po ang medyo iwasan po natin with regards to ganito pong napaka-formal na gathering. No, let us remember also that this is the family time where we can enjoy one another, we fellowship with one another, we listen to God's word with fear, of course, with all humility, not also limiting our expression of our love and affection. Okay, so itinang ko po kayo, honestly naman po, I believe that you are affectionate to towards one another. Medyo limited lang makita kaya nga nakamaskara po kayo. But again, as we tackle this issue of God's sovereignty, I hope and pray that as we look into God's care and compassion and even judgment over sin as parts of His divine sovereignty, it will give you hope. Knowing that God is in control of everything. Amen po ba? Bilang mananampalataya. And so, I hope and pray that you will gain comfort as we remind ourselves of God and His salvation plan. So with this, let us take a look at Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 1 to 7. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 1 to 7. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken into exile Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the officials of Judah with the craftsmen and metal workers from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon, the Lord showed me two baskets of figs placed before the temple of the Lord. One basket had very good figs, like first ripe figs, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten due to rottenness. Then the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "Figs. The good figs are very good, and the bad ones very bad, which cannot be eaten due to rottenness." Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Like these good figs, so I will regard as good the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land, and I will build them up and not overthrow them, and I will plant them and not uproot them. I will also give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord, and they will be my people. I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly." Brethren, based on this passage, I would like to remind you about God and His plan for His people. Three things. First, God's plan is ordained. Second, God's plan is abiding, it is enduring. And third, God's plan is sanctifying. First, God's plan is ordained. Please, again, let us read verse 5. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, like this good figs, I, Yahweh, the God who created all things, will regard as good the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place in the land of the Chaldeans." Listen to this, brethren. God used an agricultural symbol to illustrate His point, and that is a fig tree. Fig tree. You see, in the land of Palestine, marami pong mga puno po doon. There are a lot of trees mentioned in the Bible actually to symbolize Israel. At nakaka-identify po talaga sila dahil nakikita po nila. Sino sa inyo dito nakakita na ng puno ng mangga? Oh, siyempre, magtatas kayo lahat. Bakit? Kasi normal at ordinaryo yan sa bansa natin. Sa kanila, when we say fig tree, alam na alam ho ni Jeremias ano ang pinag-uusapan po nila. Bakit? Dahil karaniwan po yan na puno na tumutubo sa lugar po na yan. Sometimes, Israel is symbolized with a grapevine. Most of the time, it is also olive tree. In the Song of Solomon, Solomon referred to the love of God to his beloved, or the love, his love to his beloved, likened into a pomegranate. Dahil nga, napaka-lovely po, lalo pag nakita mo yung prutas po ng puno po na ito. But in the Palestine, figs are small trees that typify abundance and prosperity. If you look at the Bibles, no, just going through the Bible, it was fig leaves, okay? It was fig leaves that Adam and Eve used to sew garments for themselves. Okay? Alam ho natin that the Garden of Eden was situated ho in the Middle East. Okay? So napaka maari, marami hong fig trees po dyan. Even in the beginning of time, andun na ho yan, puno na yan. The leaves of fig trees also were used by Joshua and Caleb. They brought that to prove the abundance of the promised land. Remember ho, nung time po na si Moses, nagpadala po siya ng 12 espiya, ano ang ginamit po ni Joshua at Caleb para patunayang mayaman na talagang lugar na yan. Abundant yung lugar na yan. Ginamit po nila na puweba ay walang iba kundi dahon ng fig trees. Okay? At the same time also, in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25, no, if you are living under the fig or under the shade of a fig tree, that kind of thought or figure symbolizes peace and harmony. Okay? So basically, yan ang ginamit ng Panginoon, ito pong fig tree po na ito, to illustrate Israel. And here, in this passage, God used such a clear picture to describe two groups of Jewish people. Those who disobey and continue to rebel against God are likened to bad figs which could not be eaten due to rottenness. No? Alam niyo po, no, lumaki po ako sa Pangasinan at kapag ang isang mangga, pasensya na po kayo, mangga lang po talaga ang pwede ko pong i-illustrate. No, pag nakita namin yung mangga, hindi namumunga, anong gagawin po namin? Talagang magsusunog ka, maglalagay ka ng usok para mamatay siguro yung peste. Pag talagang wala na, ay talaga hanggang dyan na lang. Minsan nga, tinutuli pa. I don't know, anong scientific ho nung pagtutuli. Meron binubutas. Parang ganun. And so, here, brethren, just to point the illustration, just to give a clear message, God used a bad fig for Israel to identify yung situation po nila. And bad figs in this passage refer to the Jewish people who are against the Lord, who continue to rebel against God. At sabi nga po dun sa passage po natin, they could not be eaten due to rottenness. Due to rottenness. It is unusual for a fig tree, no, not to cultivate and be into a state of rottenness. No, at that point, at that time, medyo kakaiba sa isang fig tree na malagay sa punto na talagang napakabulok na. At yan ang klase pong pagsasarawan ang ginawa ng Panginoon para ipakita kung gaano lumayo ang mga Hudyo na ito sa Panginoon. On the other hand, those who are obedient, those who are serving the Lord, are likened to those good figs in one basket. But then the loss of figs, listen to this, the loss of figs is an image that symbolizes also God's punishment and judgment against Israel. And the figure of good figs is a clear message of God's unfailing plan also of redemption over Israel. So basically, God used this illustration to identify two groups of Jewish people at that time. Mayroon po isang mga Hudyo na talagang sobrang tumalikod sa Panginoon. At mayroon din pong gagamitin ng Panginoon, ililigtas ng Panginoon. Mayroon po siyang remnant na manggagaling po sa henerasyon po na ito na magpapatuloy sa Diyos. I would like you to take note, brethren, that the vision of figs was given right after Judah was brought to captivity. If you look at your Bibles, again, no, in verse 1, sabi niya, after Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken into exile Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, and all the craftsmen and metalworks, they have been brought to Babylon. They were exiled to Babylon. This figure God has given in the midst of great apostasy, great rebellion, great dispersion. I'd like to ask you, what would you think about the timing of such vision? Kumbaga, parang ganito eh, talagang maraming namamatay, inaalis po ng isang dayuhang bansa ang Pilipinas, ilalagay ho tayo sa ibang lugar, at biglang magbibigay ang Panginoon ng ganitong klase pong vision tungkol po sa kanyang paghatol na nangyayari na, but at the same time also, ang kanyang pangakong kaligtasan. Minsan isipin natin, talaga bang totoo yan? Itingnan nyo naman nangyayari ngayon. What would you say about God when at that very moment of His dealing against apostate Israel, He now gave a very hopeful promise of a future return? Bilang mga tao, ano ang ating pong default response? Magdududa po tayo, di po ba? Kasi nga, bakit niya kaya ibibigay yung pangitain na yan? Bibigay siya ng pangako ng future sa bansa na mismo on the spot, nakikita ko, pinapatay na yung mga kapitbahay ko. Dinidesolate na ang templo. Ninanakaw na lahat ng kayamanan ng aking bansa. Talaga ba, Lord? Sigurado ka ba sa pangako mo na yan? Eh, mismo ito na nangyayari. You see? Judah has been taken captured and God was fully aware of the circumstances. Again, mga kapatid, in the midst of great apostasy, in the midst of great turmoil, God was fully aware of the circumstance of the people Judah. Why? Actually, He ordained it. He ordained it. In verse 5, this is something that struck my mind, mga kapatid. Yes, God will deal with sin. God will judge apostasy and rebellion. And there are means God will allow to exact His sovereignty, to exact His plan. And most of the time, those means we cannot comprehend, we cannot understand. And yet, this is a comfort to you and me, mga kapatid. Look at verse 5. The Lord, the God of Israel says, parang sinasabi niya, ito ang sabi ko sa iyo, panatag ka dapat, I will regard as good the captives of Judah. Again, you might ask, anong klaseng mabuti yan? Again, look at, put yourself in that situation. Ito na si Nebuchadnezzar, ito na yung mga dayuhan, marami na ho talaga ang papatay sa mga Hudyo. Marami ho ang makakaranas ng pagsasalbahi ng mga dayuhan na ito. And then God will say, yes, I have already considered Judah, this remnant, as good. And this is the comfort, brethren. Verse 5, again, whom I have sent out of this place in the land of the Chaldeans. Wado, ano ang gusto ko pong iparating po sa inyo? Brethren, in His sovereign wisdom, He let the captivity happen. First, to exact judgment against sin, and at the same time also remembering gracious covenant with His people. Brethren, there are things that we cannot comprehend. Amen? And it humbles us. It puts us as men, limited and finite. There are things that we cannot understand fully. Only God knows, sabi nga po nila. But rest assured that our covenant-keeping God is fully in control. He is in control of everything. Bagamat at that point in time, marami po dumadaan na sa paghatol ang bayang Huda. Pero sabi ng Panginoon, in control pa rin ako. I let that to happen. Brethren, this is what I want you to know. God is never out of schedule. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. At minsan po mga kapatid, honestly po, lahat po tayo, minsan kapag itong doktrina po na ito, minsan ang hirap po lunukin, lalo na pag nandun ka na sa punto na naghihirap ka, di ba? Amen? Naranasan nyo na ho ba na dumadan ka sa matinding hamon sa buhay mo? And then somehow, narinig mo palagi, God is sovereign, take comfort, God is sovereign. Minsan, ang hirap. At man yun, brethren, God's sovereignty is not dependent on your response. When the Bible tells us that God is sovereign, He is indeed sovereign. God is sovereign. And I will show that to you later on sa ating pong pag-aaral po ngayong araw po na ito. Throughout human history, listen to this, throughout human history, He orchestrates all things, bad and good things, to work together for His glory and for the good of His people. Amen? Throughout human history, God works out all things for His glory and for your good. For example, Adam and Eve, even at the point of their sin and rebellion against God, God has orchestrated already a plan of salvation. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Even at the height of their apostasy and rebellion against God. Jacob, you know the name Jacob was supplanter, di ba? Alam po natin ang pinagdaanan po niya. Pero pinadaan sa kanya ng Panginoon ang mga mahihirap na sitwasyon. Di niya na nakita yung nanay niya na namatay dahil sa kanyang pangluloko sa kanyang kuya. Kinalaban siya ng kanyang sariling father-in-law. Dinaya din siya. Pero at that point po na siya po ay babaguhin ng Panginoon, at that point in time in the place of what we call Bethel, God wrestled with him and God removed the pride of Jacob. At that point, iba na hong Jacob po ang kilala po natin. You know Joseph? Di po ba? Joseph was betrayed by his own brothers. Joseph was forgotten, but God will not ever forget him. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, "Yes, you meant evil for me, but God meant it for good, for the salvation of many." But then, He orchestrates all things, bad and good things, to work together for His glory. And the very clear evidence, proof that God orchestrates all things for His glory and for your good is the cross. It is the ultimate expression that God is in control of everything. Seems like, wow, buwapalakpak si Satanas. Seems like, wow, nagtagumpay ang high priest at ang mga Pariseo at that time. Seems like nabigo. All the disciples went back to fishing. But at that point in time, God already exacted, appropriated, God already performed the very need, the ultimate need of humankind, and that is salvation, His salvation. The great persecution. You've heard Pastor Robbie's preaching, yung New Year's message po natin, di po ba? That the great dispersion, seemingly parang inuusig sila, pinapatay sila, yun pala, gagamitin yun ng Panginoon to fulfill Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8, that you will be witnesses beginning from Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Paano nag-umpisa yun? Yung pong bagay na ayaw po natin, di po ba? Ano yung bagay na ayaw-ayaw po natin? Persecution. God caused all things to work together for our good and for His glory. You look at some missionary profiles or characters like Jim Elliot. Kilala po niyo si Jim Elliot? Wala pa po silang sinasabi. Wala pa po silang sinasabing ebanghelyo, gospel sa mga Indian sa Ecuador, eh, binarbikyo na ho sila agad. And yet, it paved way to the point that Elizabeth Elliot went back to the tribe and they now shared what is meant by unconditional love. What is meant by the gospel. Ginamit yun ng Panginoon para matibag ang takot ng mga Indian at that time sa pamamagitan po ng kamatayan ng mga martir na ito. David Brainerd also opened the way for the gospel to be preached in the areas of Massachusetts in America those times. But you know what? He died in an early age. Sayang naman. But David Brainerd also initiated or opened at that time missionary works among the Indians in the Americas. Jonathan Edwards paid a tribute for him because of his work and his passion for the gospel. God, brethren, God orchestrates all things, bad and good, to work together for His glory and for the good of His people. And in the context of the Israelites at that time, seems like wala nang pag-asa. Ito na, dayuhan. Ito na, sila Nebuchadnezzar. Maraming mamamatay na. Aalis na kami sa aming bayan. And yet, God is in control of everything. It is my plan that I will send you to the land of Chaldeans. Huwag kang mag-alala. Alam ko ang ginagawa ko. As if yan ang sinasabi ng Panginoon. It is I. When we see bad things, brethren, God has already worked them out for His glorious purpose and our ultimate good. God's plan, brethren, is ordained. It is ordained. And God is never out of schedule. God is never out of schedule. God's plan is set already. Second, God's plan is enduring. It is abiding. If you look at verse 6, "For I will set my eyes on them for good." Again, no? This vision was given in the midst of great turmoil. And yet, God, as if saying, "Don't worry. I will set my eyes on them for good. I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up. I will plant them and not uproot them." God's plan, brethren, is abiding. It has a purpose. Despite the rebellion of Israel and Judah against God, it is such a wonder to us to see how God still responded in grace and mercy. Alam niyo, mga kapatid, mas lalo po talagang nabibigyan ng luwalhati ang Panginoon kapag ka naiintindihan po natin ang kanya pong soberanya at kanya pong kapangyarihan. This is how God works out His love toward His people. Listen to this. Most of the time, we calculate His grace according to our own assessment and limited evaluation. Minsan, ganyan po tayo kalimitado mag-isip pagdating po sa grasya ng Panginoon. Kapag hindi nasagot ang panalangin mo, minsan ini-equate natin yung hindi pagsagot ng Panginoon, yan ang grace ng Lord. Minsan, kapag ka hindi po na-meet yung ating pong expectation, we doubt the grace of God. We doubt the love of God. Brethren, it is not. God's grace is not dependent on your own assessment and evaluation. That's why He is sovereign. Kaya ho siya makapangyarihan. Alam niya ang kanyang ginagawa dahil alam niya ang pinakamaganda para sa iyo. At alam niya na yung bagay na yan, yung pinakamaganda para sa iyo, alam niya na yan din ang magbibigay ng pinakamadakilang pagpupuri sa Panginoon. But then this has been so throughout history. God has always been dealing with men in acts of divine grace. This act of love has its climax actually when He gave His only Son to die for undeserved sinful men. Itong ginawa ng Panginoon sa Israel, sa Judah, that at that point of the rebellion, sabi ng Panginoon, "I will build you up. I will set my eyes on you for good." Samantalang grabe ho ang kanila pong pagtalikod sa Kanya. Ganyan na ho umaksyon ng Panginoon noon pa man. At ang pinaka-expression po ng grasya ng Panginoon ay walang iba kundi ang kamatayan ng kanyang sariling anak para maligtas ang mamakasalanang tulad mo at tulad ko. That, brethren, is the solid rock on which our faith rests. It is the grace of God. God has been tending Israel and you in the same way. He was showing His gracious mercy even in spite of our greatest apostasy and rebellion. Now look at verse 6. Again, no, balik po tayo sa ating pong passage. Look at verse 6. Sabi niya, I will build, or I will set, I will bring them back, I will build, I will plant them. What did God promise to Israel that highlights His gracious mercy, His acts of gracious mercy? There are four I wills in that passage, in that verse. I wills the Lord promised to do for the people of Judah. And listen to this. God used, again, no, para lang maging klaro ang Panginoon, gumamit ulit po siya ng mga pananalita na siguradong maintindihan ng ni Jeremias at ng mga tao ho sa Huda. No, God used four different pictures also to affirm His commitment and His promise to people of Israel. First of all, sabi niya, I will set my eyes on them for good. It speaks about God's affection. It speaks about God's affection. And He used a filial relationship. Okay, ano sabi po ng Panginoon sa bayang Israel? Sabi niya, they are the apple of my eye. Hindi po dahil wala nakikita ang Panginoon na ibang bansa. Hindi po dahil nag-iisa lang ang bansa noon, maraming mga ethnic groups, maraming mga lahi noon. Pero sabi ng Lord, these people of Israel, I consider them as the apple of my own eye. Naranasan niyo na ho ba na kapag tumingin kayo sa isang bagay, lahat po nang nasa gilid, peripheral lamang? For example, if I see Manang Rods, Sister Rods, Dr. Rods, nakikita ko halos lahat kayo. Yes, nandyan kayo, pero kung ang tuon ko, ang mata ko ay sa kanya, siya lang ang focus. Klarong-klaro siya. That is the implication of that word. I set my eyes on them for good. Just to make God plain and clear, sabi ng Panginoon, I will set my eyes on them for good. What else? I will bring them back to this land. It speaks about loyalty. It speaks about loyalty. And you mind, it gives us an illustration of their history. No, alam niyo po, ang bansa na ito o ang lahi na ito ay isa sa mga lahi na palipat-lipat, di ba? Sa kasaysayan po nila. Paano po sila nag-umpisa? Pinalipat sila ng Panginoon, di ba? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. O Abraham, I called you out of the land of Ur. Ito ngayon, pupunta ka dito sa isang bayan, isang lugar na hindi mo alam. Sumunod ka lang. In their history, it's like God is reminding the people of Judah and of course the prophet Jeremiah, I will bring them back to this land. You know, ginawa ko na yan noon pa. Napatunayan nyo na yan. Totoo ako sa pangako dahil nag-umpisa na, nagkaroon na yan noon pa. It talks about God being our loyal God. Ano pa? I will build them up and not overthrow them. That word build can be translated as establish. I will establish them and I will not overthrow them. It speaks about security. So it speaks about affection and then loyalty and then security. Just imagine po, no, kung kayo po ay nandoon sa punto ng kasaysayan na yon at nawala kayo sa inyong bayan at nandun kayo sa bayan, sa isang dayuhang bayan na nakikita nyo kung gaano ka-progreso, kaganda ang bayan na ito, ang dayuhang bayan na ito. Sabi ng Panginoon, no, I will establish you to your own land. That's a promise. And lastly, God also used a farming illustration, a figure, to give His point. Sabi nga, I will plant them and not uproot them. So if you observe all this, mga kapatid, itong mga pako na ito, basically, all these acts of God point to His abiding love and care for His people Israel. Di po ba? Kung papansinin po ninyo, again, no, this vision was given in the midst of great apostasy. And yet, God was gracious to the people of Judah and that He gave a list of promises. And He will surely fulfill them because His love is abiding. His care is enduring for the people of Judah. The plan of God is for Israel to see this kind of unconditional love that all the more glorifies Him as their covenant-keeping God. Pag nakita ho ng bayang Yehuda ho kung gaano tuto pa rin ng Panginoon ang kanyang pangako, mas mag-glorify po siya. At masasabing, tunay nga Panginoon, tapat kayong Diyos. Tunay nga Panginoon, kayo po ay loyal na Diyos. Kayo ay Diyos na makapangyarihan. Kung ano sinabi nyo, gagawin po ninyo. This promise, again, is even more intensified, like what I've said, at the backdrop of what was happening in the land of Judah. For us, in their eye, in their perspective, hopeless. But in God's eyes, there's the plan. And the plan is enduring. And the plan is indeed abiding. May plano ang Panginoon sa kanila. At papatunayan po yan ng Diyos. For example, how did God prove His words to be true? Paano pinatalagang sinabi ng Panginoon na totoo ang kanyang sinasabi, ang kanya pong ipinangako? In Daniel chapter 9 verse 1, please, open your Bibles, Daniel chapter 9 verse 1. Paano tinupad ng Panginoon? Daniel ministered to the people of Israel in the land of Babylon many years after Jeremiah prophesied. So kumbaga, at that time, panahon ni Daniel, nandun na sila sa Babylonia. Okay? Inalis na sila ng Panginoon sa bayang Huda at nandun na sila sa dayuhang bayan, dayuhang bansa. And in Daniel chapter 9 verse 1, as Daniel looked at the prophecy of Jeremiah, he was now preparing for the fulfillment of God given in Jeremiah chapter 24 verse 6. Sabi po sa Daniel chapter 9 verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, jump to verse 24 and to 27. Sabi po doon sa may verse 24, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and it will be built again, of course, with all those details. Daniel, in this passage, in Daniel chapter 9, was reminded about the prophecy of Jeremiah. And somehow, they were now preparing for the fulfillment of the prophecy. And God fulfilled it, for sure. Tinupad po talaga ng Panginoon. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 15, 17 also. There was the promise of God na tutuparin po niya, na ibabalik niya ang bayang Huda kung saan po sila. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31, what is the reason of this fulfillment of God's promise? Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 31 says, "For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not abandon you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers which He swore to them." And I would like to give you a historical date po dito. Just please, bear with me po. Ito po. Again, no, just to a review, in 605 BC, before Christ, there was the first deportation. Okay? So, nagkaroon po ng marami hong pagtanggal ho ng mga Hudyo sa lugar po nila sa Huda. The first deportation actually is yung mga kayamanan po ng Israel na dala ho sa Babylonia. The second deportation is 586 BC. And the site and the situation was so horrible. 586 BC is the exact fulfillment of God's judgment against Judah. Their king, the king, the eyes of their king was they were plucked out. At lahat ng anak ho ng mga hari pinagpapatay sa harapan po niya. At marami ho mga Hudyo pinatay at dinala ho lahat, and the temple was destroyed. the very center of their national identity was destroyed. Parang ganito po, pag nakita niyo ang Malacanang, parang nanonood po kayo ng mga Olympus was taken. Alam niyo yun? Pinasabog po yung, parang ganun. Wala ko kayong reaction. Napadun niyo na ba yun? Tumatawa si Brother Peng. Parang ganun ho, the very identity of the nation was taken. Nebuchadnezzar drove all the inhabitants of Judah into a foreign land. At doon ho nagkaroon ho ng mix ho ng mga tao po sa area po ng Jerusalem. Kaya ho may mga Samaritans during the time of Christ. But here is the fulfillment of God's promise in verse 6. In 538 or 539 BC, again, no? In 538, there was the first return under the leadership of Zerubbabel. The first return, bumalik po sila. Okay? And then after that, in 516 BC, okay? Bumalik po ang mga iba po mga Hudyo in their second return, and the temple was rebuilt. The temple was rebuilt. Talagang tinutupad ng Panginoon ang kanya pong pangako na ibabalik niya ang bayang Huda sa kanila pong bayang sa Palestina, in Palestine. And in 445 BC, Nehemiah, are you aware of Nehemiah? Familiar with Nehemiah? Nehemiah, under his leadership, they now rebuilt the wall. And so, the first return in 538 BC, kumbaga, alam niyo, pag bumalik ka sa bayan mo, medyo settle ka muna. Problema, nung sa first pagpunta po nila, nakalimutan po nila yung pinapagawa ng Lord sa kanila, yung templo. So, pagbalik ho, ng una, pangalawang ho, pagbalik ho, inayos ho nila yung templo. Pagdating ho ni Nehemiah sa 515 BC, natapos ho ang templo, at nung 445 BC, inayos din po nila ang Jerusalem Wall at natapos din po yan. 445 BC. So, the temple was rebuilt, the Jerusalem Wall was rebuilt, and in 432, just to give you an information po, this is the last prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Malachi. 432 BC. And in your Bible, there's the 400 quote-unquote silent years. Yung pong isang page, para mo isang page lang, pero actually 400 years yan. Okay? 400 years silent, not so much na walang nagsasalita that time, but wala hong pinapadala ang Panginoon na propeta para paalalahanan ang bayang Huda o bayang Israel. Pagdating po sa New Testament, during the time of Christ, of course we know that the first we consider prophet was John the Baptist to prepare the way of the coming of the Messiah. And so, 33 AD, this is the time of the cross. Brethren, bakit ko po sinasabi po ito? Because kung hindi ho tinupad ng Panginoon na pabalikin ang bayang Huda sa kanilang lugar, then lahat ng statements ni Kristo in the New Testament will be nothing. For example, at that time na ang Panginoon dumalaw po siya sa templo, John chapter 3. At nung sinabi niya, this temple will be destroyed in 3 days, but after 3 days, it will be restored again. Anong saysay po nung statement po na yon? Kung in the first place, wala hong templo na na-rebuild during the time of Nehemiah. Nung si Kristo po ay papasok ho sa Jerusalem, at marami ho ang, nung si Kristo po ay papapunta na ho sa Kalbaryo, at marami ho sa mga kababaihan umiiyak para sa kanya. Well, they know that an innocent is being killed. Sabi ho ng Panginoon, do not wail for me. Weep for your children. Weep for the city of Jerusalem. For there will be a time that the Jerusalem will be destroyed. And alam nyo, AD 70, the Romans utterly destroyed the city. So anong saysay po ng statement po ng Panginoon po na yon kapag hindi po na-rebuild ang Jerusalem during the time of Nehemiah? And so that is the program of God. Eventually, all those details point to what will happen during the time of Christ. During the time of Christ, God's plan, this is my point, brethren, God's plan is secured. It is secured. So God's plan is indeed, it is ordained. God's plan is abiding and enduring. And lastly, God's plan is redemptive. God's plan is redemptive. In Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7, I will also give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord, and they will be my people. I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly. Listen to this, brethren. This is the third point, is what makes this plan different from other any human program. Leading up, this third point, that God's plan is redemptive, is what this plan entirely different or even superior from any human program. What made this plan effective and enduring is because only God can do it. It's only God can do it. Only God can make this plan. Only God can appropriate this plan. No human being can ever succeed to do this plan. Why? Because the Bible tells us we cannot even create the same plan, because the Bible tells us that we are dead in our trespasses. We can never make any step to better our state of deadness, brethren. Nothing in us can ever move us from the miry pit of sin. Men in themselves are lost forever unless one is mighty to defeat Satan, sin, and death in order to save us from this lost condition. Brethren, this plan is solely and clearly God's work. Yes, ang plano ng Panginoon na ito ay papunta sa kaligtasan. At sigurado ito ay kakaiba, dahil ang tanging makakapagbigay lamang po nito, walang iba kundi ang ating Panginoon. Hindi manggagaling sa atin, because we are dead in our trespasses. We are sinners. That's why we need to be born again. We must be changed completely. We ought to be a new creation. The past is removed and all things are made new. The only way that the new creation will be made possible and effective is only God's hands. Brethren, in the context of the Jews at that time, yes, the plan is to bring them back to the land. But eventually, there's another point of that plan, and that is to revive Jerusalem, to revive the Jews, so that they will be God's people, and God will be their God. But then God told us through the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah the good news, even in the Old Testament. Leading up, God told us through the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah the good news preached in the Old Testament. And what is that good news? Again, in verse 7. Look at verse 7. Sabi niya, I will give them a heart to know me. I will give them a heart to know me. That is a gospel preached in the Old Testament. Di po ba? Still with me? That is the gospel in the Old Testament. And alam niyo mga kapatid, even noon pa, pareho talaga ang mensahe ng Panginoon. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, I will put my law within them, on their heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart. Yes, brethren, during the time of Judah, maaaring nakabalik sila sa kanila pong lupa, pero kung hindi po ayos ang puso, babalik na naman po sila sa dati. At yun nga ang nangyari. Yun nga ang nangyari. And for God, ang pinakamahalaga ay walang iba kundi pagbabago sa puso, hindi sa panglabas lamang. That's why God gave this also another aspect of that plan, that He Himself will give them a new heart. He will give them a new heart. Observe, brethren, that what God told Israel is that He will give them a new heart. God has always been interested in the condition of human heart. This message was wrongly caught by the Jewish leaders during our Lord's time. Nakakalungkot po na this message given to Jeremiah and even repeated in the prophet Ezekiel. Marami ho sa mga Hudyo sa panahon ng ating Panginoon nakalimutan. They return to their own traditional, parasitical, legalistic manner of life. That's why Jesus, during His time, reiterated again the gospel preached in the Old Testament, reiterated in the New Testament during this time of ministry. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in what? In heart. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, ano ang gusto ng Panginoon? Saan ho ang kanya pong nais mabago? Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. In Matthew 15, verse 8, God warned us against serving the Lord in an outward physical manner, pero wala ang puso. Sabi po sa Matthew 15, verse 8, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Kaibigan, kapatid, ganyan ho ba tayo sa ating pong pagsisilbi, pagpupuri sa Panginoon? We might be singing with all our voices, but not with all our heart. Because ang mahalaga po sa Panginoon, yung panloob. And so, this is the plan of God. It is not so much that God will bring Israel back to the land, but also God exacted a plan that God will change the people of Judah from within. And as believers today, this is also the same plan. The plan of God is salvific, sanctifying, purifying. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, as believers, as Christians, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ang pagbabago na plano ng Panginoon na ginawa po niya sa bayang Huda ay parehong-parehong plano na ginawa po niya para sa atin. Sabi nga po, for once, you were not a people, but you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. But then lately, we have been bombarded with the news about social injustices, like this so-called Black Lives Matter. Alam niyo ho ba yon? Black Lives Matter. As Christians, do we need to participate to such movement? Kailangan ho ba nating makisama sa mga ganong klaseng propaganda o movement? What is our response with social trends like this? When we hear like Black Lives Matter, how should we think about them in light of the scriptures, in light of what we are studying now? Given that God's plan, it is ordained, yes, it is abiding, but also it is sanctifying. You see, brethren, I believe, listen to this, just to address this issue. I believe the answer lies in what God calls us to know about His plan. The plan of God never settles in activism to alleviate human social and physical condition. Ang plano ng Panginoon ay hindi lang mananatili sa punto na pagandahin ang buhay po natin dito sa mundo. Paalisin natin ang mga problema pang-physical dito sa buhay na ito. Hindi po. Listen, it was never the intention of Christ to settle with healing the sick, feeding the poor, or even championing the weak and the needy. Did you get that? It was not the intention of Christ na magpagaling lang. Hindi po. He always looked at the greater purpose of God, quote-unquote, higher plan, or what we call the best plan. It is not a wonderful plan because, again, mayroon pong kumakala, God has a wonderful plan for you. How about Stephen? How about Jim Elliot? In God's perspective, the ultimate greater purpose for us is salvation of our souls, not the healing of our physical infirmities, not championing the weak and the needy. Actually po, even at the point of His birth, the angel told Mary the very purpose of that plan. And that plan was given in the very name of Christ, Jesus, which means He will save His people from their sins. The plan of God is not so much for us to be champions, to be examples, to be models for the weak and needy. The plan of God is your salvation, your regeneration. Amen. And so, mga kapatid, Yes, let me be clarified. There are valid platforms, okay? Not activism. There are valid platforms where ultimately this greater plan should be dished out. Okay? What is the plan of God? Conversion. Salvation. There are platforms. May mga avenues naman na pwede ho na ang plano na ito ay maihatid sa mga tao. For example, acts of compassion, acts of kindness. Di po ba? Our testimonies are platforms to propagate this plan, this conversion, this salvation of souls. Pero hindi po end, hindi po yon ang plano ng Diyos, o magpagaling lang, o magpakita ng milagro lang, o maging modelo sa mga para maging wow, moral na tao yan. Hindi po yon. Hindi po tumitigil po doon. Because the plan of God is sanctifying. It is the good for your soul. God will make you a new heart. At yung plano na yon, walang ibang makakagawa kundi ang Panginoon lamang. And so, brethren, if there a certain community cause ends to itself that serves man and purpose, and if that community cause contradicts other biblical mandate like authority, like submission to the government, then we must be discerning. We must be careful and we must be warned. Because again, like what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, the ultimate calling of believers is not so much doon sa ginagawa ho na mga social works or acts of compassion lamang. The very purpose of our calling is to present the excellencies of God who calls us. Amen? Yes, brethren, all lives matter. All lives matter. At yung buhay na yan, hindi ho magmamatter yan sa pananaw lang natin. Magmamatter yan, mas lalo na dapat sa mata ng Diyos kapag nabuhay yan para kay Jesus. Amen? And just give me 2 minutes po to wrap up ito pong pag-inag-aaralan natin. So God's plan, again, it is ordained. Don't worry. Alam ng Panginoon na nangyayari sa paligid po natin. It comforts us. Amen? Second, God's plan indeed is abiding. Siya talaga ang gagawa. Mangyayari at mangyayari ang pangako ng Panginoon. Pangako na yan, maaaring hindi natin maintindihan, o yung pangako na yan, ay ang fulfillment ng pangako ay hindi dahil sa ating pre-expectation, pero ang pangako po na yan, tutuparin ng Diyos para sa kapurihan po niya. And lastly, God's plan ultimately is sanctifying. Ultimately, ang kanya pong plano ay para malagay po ang isang makasalanan para po sa Diyos, para kay Kristo. How then should this truth affect us as believers? How do we apply these principles? Listen to this. Knowing that God's plan is set, let us always remember the very wisdom of God. And how do we align with the plan of God? Kung ang plano ng Panginoon ito pala, ang kaligtasan ng tao, paano natin malalaman ang plano ng Diyos? Then basically, mga kapatid, babalik pa rin po tayo, then read His Word. Saturate your minds with the Word of God. A man ignorant of the Word of God is a man illiterate of God's wisdom. Ulitin ko po. A man ignorant of the Word of God is a man illiterate of God's wisdom. Or eventually, illiterate of God's plan. Palagi po natin, plano mo, ano plano mo? Palagi natin sinasabi bilang Kristiyano, sabi natin, oh, saan si God dyan sa plano mo? Medyo balik na rin natin. Ito ang plano ng Diyos. Kapatid, saan ka sa plano ng Diyos? Saan ka sa plano ng Diyos? Second, knowing that God's plan is secured, I would like to encourage you, brethren, kahit ang hirap po ng panahon ngayon, let us rest in the abiding love of God. Let us rest. During that time, nagkaroon po kami ng devotion as a family, and we'll look at the life of Polycarp. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John, and he was the bishop of Smyrna at that time, during the time of the great persecution, sabi po nila. They didn't know ano ang nangyayari. Persecution lang. Somehow, pag sinabi mo, wow, God has a wonderful plan for you, talaga ba, wonderful plan yon? Ang daming namamatay na Kristiyano? Hindi. But even though they do not understand, they cannot comprehend their situation, anong sinabi po ni Polycarp during that time na siya na ang papatayin? Listen to this. And I hope this is our prayer also. When tribulation and challenges and suffering will come to you, Listen to this. 86 years, that's the age of Polycarp, have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? 86 years, God has been faithful to him. And this time of persecution, how then can I injure him by blaspheming him, my King and my Savior? Ay, going back po kay Jim Elliot. Namatay po si Jim Elliot at yung pong apat na kasama po niya. And this is what Elizabeth Elliot, when they return to the mission field and proclaim the love of Christ, listen to this. Fear arises when we imagine that everything depends on us. Ito to yan, di ba? Kapag ka, alam mo yun, pag lahat kinakalkula mo, talagang dahil hindi mo alam kung saan manggagaling yung provision ng Lord, natakot ka, anxious ka, kasi nga, nakadepende sa iyo eh. Eh kapatid, kaibigan, limitado ka nga eh. Ang ganda ho ng pagkasabi ni Elizabeth, fear arises when we imagine that everything depends on us. And so here comes faith. Faith, yes, does not eliminate questions. Sometimes, Lord, ano kaya pa? Anong purpose mo dito? Maaring ganon? But when we depend on God, when faith knows where to take them, magtitiwala. And I would like to ask you, where else should we take our questions and fears but before the feet of our Almighty Sovereign King? Amen. Amen. Lastly, knowing that God's plan is sanctifying, let us resolve to make Him and His work known to others. Do not just say, oh, this is a wonderful plan of God for you, God, to prosper you. Yan ang problema po sa mga nababalitaan ho natin mga prosperity gospel preachers. That's not the plan of God. The ultimate plan of God is the conversion of souls. If this is the ultimate plan, the plan of God is the salvation of souls, then as believers, we must resolve, we must make every opportunity to share the gospel and to testify His greatness. Yes, the gospel is the wonderful news of salvation. Amen? Amen. The wonderful news of salvation, because in it, in the gospel, we find His grace, His mercy, His compassion, His love given to sinners. And yet, the gospel also is a terrible news for those who are self-sufficient, those who are proud and legalistic, because in it also, the justice and fairness and wrath and holiness of God must be satisfied. Brethren, sabi nga po ni Pedro, diba, God exacted the payment of our sin through Christ. Nagbayad ho ang Panginoon para sa atin. And with that, praise God sa atin. At kung ikaw, kaibigan, wala ka pa kay Kristo, babayaran mo yung kasalanan mo. Ibig sabihin niya, mga kapatid, balang araw, lahat po tayo magbabayad. Praise God, sa isang Kristiyano, may nagbayad na para sa atin. Pero sa iba, mamili ka. And that's why in verse 8 to 10, there's the bad fig. They are rotten. They will be destroyed by God. They will be utterly judged by God. And so, brethren, that's the plan of God. The plan of God from the time of Genesis until Revelation, that is a plan of salvation. That's the overarching, sabi nga po nila, that's the ultimate plan of God, the salvation of soul and His glory. My question now is this, are you part of that plan? Parte po ba tayo doon? Next Sunday po, we will see Jeremiah and God's call. God's call of sharing the gospel or sharing the word of God. Let us pray. Panginoon, salamat po sa mensahe po ninyo ngayong umaga. Thank you, Lord God. I pray, Father, that Your sovereignty is upheld, that Your love and Your grace is greatly appreciated. Lord, there are things, Lord God, that we cannot comprehend. Thank You, Lord God, that You are our sovereign God. And You have proved, Lord God, that You are in control by sending Your Son to die on the cross. And in His death, Lord God, all of us will live. Thank you, Lord. Salamat po. Bibigyan po namin ito po, mensahe po na ito, and I hope and pray that your people is encouraged, Lord God, by your word. Panginoon, sa aming pong pagbibigay, nawa magbigay po kami nang mayroon po pasasalamat din po, Panginoon, sa inyo. Salamat po, ingatan niyo po kami, at aming pong binabalik sa inyo ang papuri pagsamba. Sa pangalan po na aming pong Panginoong Jesus. Amen.